pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, and I survived my bachelor party and my birthday. Unscathed? Maybe not, but I am here.
Well, that is a good thing because it would be very difficult to do the show without you, Kevin. Glad you survived the weekend. Sad I couldn't make it up to Montreal, but there's a lot of movement in my life in the next few days. I heard that you had a good time. I just spoke to you a minute ago. Always a fun time. My bachelor party was pretty tame, actually. And, well, you know, I might have a second one day in my life. Who knows? Nonetheless, let's hope that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a second one, I'll be there and I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you don't cross a threshold that I did cross. So
I think if I have a second one, I don't. Yeah, it's going to be in my wine and cheese days, not my 6 pints of bad beer days, I think.
Not a shooter of Jägermeister at 7:30 p.m. type of deal, which is never a good idea.
I do enjoy nice tequila.
So at 7? What, 7 p.m. Saturday? Someone's like, Jägermeister, like... Get out of here. Leave the bar. Jeez. Anyways, welcome to Soccer Today.
That's good. Good to have us here. Let's talk about some footy.
All right. Today on the show, we'll talk a bit about Villa, Aston Villa being promoted. I kind of like the promotion playoff final. It feels like a big event. And then they present a trophy that doesn't mean anything outside of here. You're getting money. Woohoo. $200 million. Here's for you. But no, that was a fun time. Of course, the weekend review. And Kieran McCormack was able to finally meet the owners of Vancouver. Vancouver has hired a private third-party firm to investigate their safe sport practices. We're getting there, Dwayne. It's getting to where it should have been a long time ago.
Yeah, and look... It took too long to get there, but at this point in time, I think it is probably best to move forward. I think rather than get into a conversation about this, I'd like to just very quickly read three quotes from the press release that the Whitecaps put out. These are the words of the people involved, which include Kira and another young woman who was involved in the incident back in 2008, Edwin Hangwin. So let's just quickly go through what those two women said and what Jeff Mallett, the co-owner of the Whitecaps, said. And then, you know, I don't know if there's much more to say, but I think it's important to get out there since we've been covering this for a while. So this first is from Jeff Mallett, and a quote again, talking to what they've done. As you said, they hired the Sports Law and Strategy Group, which is an independent third party, to conduct a thorough review of the club's current and past safe sport policies and procedures. So this is Jeff Mallett, co-owner of the Vancouver Whitecaps. Our primary objective throughout the club is to provide a safe and supportive environment for athletes to practice, learn, compete, and achieve their best. Our commitment to athlete safety is at the heart of what we do. By engaging the Sports Law and Strategy Group to do this important work, we welcome experienced insights, best practices, and recommended deliverables, it's very business speak, to ensure that we are recognized as a leader in safe sport practices throughout Canada. That, of course, was Jeff Mallett, the co-owner. Now, this is from Kira. Kira, of course, Kira McCormack, who's been on the show, been on many shows, kind of the face of this incident, as if you don't know already. If you don't, and we haven't heard our interview with him, go back to, I think it's April the 8th. You can listen to that in our archives where she talks about the entire thing in her own words. Kira says, I am appreciative of having the opportunity to sit down with Greg Kerfoot and Jeff Mallett and share both what was experienced in the past and what our goals are moving forward. We were invited to review the scope of the investigation in 2008 and also to have the opportunity to vet the group that the Whitecaps have chosen to lead the audit. It is obvious that we all share the common goal of making Canadian sports safer moving forward, and I look forward to working together to make that happen. And finally, the words of Edwin Hangwin, who was a member of the Whitecaps 2008 Whitecaps FC women's team and the U20 national team at that time. Several of us recently spoke with Jeff Mellon and Greg Kerfoot. As a follow-up to that, I have contacted with the SLSG, the group that they hired, and was satisfied with their level of expertise. I am supportive of their appointment to conduct the review and believe it is the right way to move forward with the efforts to create a safer sport environment for soccer players in Vancouver. My hope is that the level of responsibility being shown by Mr. Mallett and Mr. Kerfoot will continue and be an example to others so that we will be able to create a better environment for athletes than what I experienced. And there's another player that also committed, she was anonymous, but said that she also agreed with the appointment. And I think that's really the important thing here, that there's a third party, and it's a third party that has been chosen after consultation with some of the women involved with this, Kevin. And at this point in time, we'll let this review play out. I think we've made our opinions on this known. If you have anything to add, go ahead.
Just want to reiterate Kira's word on social media that she mentioned after that this article, after the press release was sent yesterday. Kira thanks, she made a new blog post as well. She thanked everyone who helped spread the word, help everyone who did help a lot in the walkouts of the 35th minute over the last couple of months in Vancouver, and it did help a lot to spread the message to higher places where it was listened and not just put aside. And now we're at this point, and hopefully it goes and continues moving forward with a good resolution, hopefully. So that's what we are hoping out of this. It took 2 months, but finally they feel heard, and that's the least we could have done. Now, let's continue, Dwayne. We're talking about problems, technical problems now in flow sports. We've talked about this before. There's a few teams already, FC Cincinnati, DC United, that do have flow sports as a digital partner to broadcast games in market or out of market as well. And flow sports, Dwayne, is not known for its technical stability. And we've talked about this months ago when it was announced. I've warned everyone. I'm like, yeah. I've been trying to watch Flow Sports to my own demise, not because I want to, because I have to of some sports that I do follow, like cycling. I don't like Flow Sports, and it's not out of want. It's not I have no will to be a Flow Sports member. It's necessity, and that's where they take advantage of you. It's when you don't have the big end of the stick to negotiate, they do.
Yeah, this is an unfortunate situation. Look, there's a couple different conversations happening here, and it's been a theme of the last few months of Soccer Today. We've talked a lot about over-the-top delivery of product, right? I mean, with One Soccer, DAZN, Flow Sports, this has been a consistent topic for us. And for those who don't know, over-the-top just means directly streamed, basically, that you're not going through a third-party cable company, basically, yeah, to put it out there. So this is the trend in soccer, in sports, especially in sports like soccer in North America, which, you know, I call it the king of the niche, but yeah, it still is on the niche side of things, you know.
Yeah. It's like boxing almost. Like, those sports are niche, who would have thought? But no, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, though, this over-the-top isn't going away. As we've said many times before, there are technical issues with it, particularly when it comes to quality of the stream, the way in the stream seems like this. This thing just disappeared in the weekend, basically. They were... people, you know, DC United were watching a game, and then all of a sudden it wasn't on their screen anymore.
Yep.
This is a scale thing. When you're talking about DAZN, I've never experienced something that bad. I have experienced really bad legs at a bar before. And speaking of DAZN, real quickly, those that were a little bit concerned about whether they would provide a sort of risk-free streaming option for the Champions League final, it is being played in several theaters in Canada on Saturday. So if you are in a major city and you can get out to one of those showings, that would probably be a safer way to watch it than a bar where they're trying to go off of a stream. Because I think you'd be aware, honestly, folks, if you are looking to watch that game out on Saturday, I would go somewhere that is a specialty bar.
Yeah.
Pay the extra because they will have paid for the licensing, whereas I think the bars that could just try and put it up there might
with just an HDMI cable. Like, okay, there's no Ethernet cable to my laptop, but I'm going to stream HD. Yeah, good idea. No, you need an Ethernet cable. But I agree with you. And you were mentioning the three over-the-top services present in our daily lives this year. Okay, so let's compare them for a second. One Soccer, DAZN, and Flow Sports. If I have to rank them by quality, of course, DAZN, with the amount of money invested in the technology, the app, the casting aspect, it's been a couple years, it's the highest quality of them all. One Soccer is second. with a limited budget, limited resources, they're able to do 10 times better than flow sports with less budget, but I guess a more knowledge. They have knowledge of the game. And that's what bothers me with flow sports, is often the culture of that own sport is not respected by how it is portrayed. I don't like fixed cameras. I don't like someone just putting a tripod in a camera and barely having the right framing of the game. Little things like this, the production values that make you feel like the sport is respected on TV, it's there for One Soccer. It's there for DAZN. It's the same type of quality. You move to Flow, the Flow ain't following, because, yeah, it's struggling. And I hope that it never comes to Canada, and I hope that we're stuck with DAZN. I'll pay the extra $10 a month, Wayne. I don't care, but DAZN over Flow Sports any day.
Well, no, for sure. And again, this is a scale demand thing, right? The teams that have gone Flow have been a new team in Cincinnati, so there would not have necessarily been a pre-established TV market for them. So they were kind of going in blind. They didn't have a lot of leverage in those negotiations. So they basically did what they had to do to get these things out there for their fans. And, you know, they made a choice to probably limit the reach in exchange for a surety. But, well, how much a surety was it was if it's disappearing off the air. But nonetheless, DC United, same thing. They have an established TV product, but it's not a very good one in terms of its ratings. So the leverage was down. And this is the problem we're going to run into when you're dealing with these sort of fly-by-nights. And they seem like a fly-by-night place. They're niche or hyper-niche. Like, these are, this is designed for what? Like amateur wrestling and stuff.
That's where it started. Amateur sports, amateur wrestling, gymnastics, and now it's big in bowling and in cycling. But I don't like bowling coverage. And I don't like their cycling coverage because, again, it's not how cycling or bowling is normally broadcasted. And I'm afraid they're going to do this to my own league, to Major League Soccer, to my bread and butter. Come on, respect a little.
Well, yeah, and look, we're lucky in this country when it comes to MLS coverage in many ways, because TSN has taken this on, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon because it's the only soccer product they have left, right?
It's the only soccer product left on Canadian television, never mind TSN. It's the only one left. That and FIFA for TSN and RDS.
And, well, and the CBC games for the Canadian Premier League, of course. But, true. Look, there is going to be hiccups. I know there are true believers of streaming out there, and I am not anti-disruptive technology. I am as very much live a millennial life, right? I'm not a millennial by technicality, but I live a life very much in the cliche that they do. I'm on my phone all the time. I stream everything. I have cut the cord. I, you know, marathon Netflix shows. Like, I'm very much in that lifestyle for stuff like, well, when it comes to media anyway, when the stuff like DAZN, it works very well for me. My issue with it has always been accessibility and whether you're gatekeeping by doing that. But that's, you know, the chickens are out of the coop, so to speak. I understand that. Even One Soccer this past weekend had some problems, though.
Halifax game. And the HFX game, yeah. Where it switched to York game or something like that?
Yeah, the York game went into a massive rain delay is what happened because of lightning. And they switched to the Calgary game, and then they didn't. But they doubled down on their mistake. Basically, they switched both streams to the Calgary Halifax game. So when the York game came back on, the people that were watching the York game were getting it. Then finally, they switched that back. But when they switched it back, they switched both streams back to the York game. So the people that had started to watch the Calgary Halifax game were then watching the end of the York game. So it was just a mess that way. But
that's just
the reality of this technology right now. It is not as flexible as cable in many, many ways. It's not as stable as it just isn't yet. We'll get there.
Let's be fair. The redundancy is what's missing, right? That's what you have in cable. 2, 3, 4 redundant systems that before you actually see a mistake on the air, it need to go through 2, 3, 4 people. I don't think it's the same for One Soccer. It's probably one or two person right now. And okay, this is the stream there. This is the stream there. I don't know what they're using or what type of TriCaster or an OBS or another type of broadcasting system. But we're using OBS here, by the way, if you're wondering. So when I have an idea, like talk behind the curtains, like that's what I do here. I do broadcast every day here, video, HD, 1080p, all those things. So I can see the person behind it. Okay, I need to switch the stream. Oh, no, I switched both. What do I do? Do I wait? Do I redo it? I can imagine the stress, and I can imagine it. So I think it's the redundancy, and it's going to eventually come, but this goes with more staff, more resources, more money, I guess.
Well, a little behind the curtain. I was actually watching the York game from, I was in the overflow press box, believe it or not. But sure. that was the basically where the league staff all was. I was sitting beside, like, you know, the third in command of the entire Canadian Premier League watching this damn game. And so I watched this play out in real time. And trust me, there were people aware of it and they were trying to fix it live. But it wasn't as simple as flipping a switch. And eventually they just had to say, you know what, we'll flip it when the game's over because that's when we can do it. Because I think that they feared that if they tried to switch it back, so that they just didn't have the ability to switch one stream but not both for some reason. They'll probably learn from it, but those things are going to happen in a startup, and it did. And I think, you know, let's be honest, what are the ratings on one sport? There's probably 50 people watching these streams, but nonetheless, you still want to get it right.
Let's hope it's a few hundred, but no, Cavalry though. Cavalry FC, 7 straight win. All competitions. We'll talk about this on Thursday. This Thursday, we'll have a big Tucson 2 Soccer podcast where Dwayne will talk about his experience going to a York 9 game. Well, that's going to be fun. Pictures of a mascot to follow. That's going to be awesome. Eating some pies. But no. It was a good weekend of soccer overall. And we're going to use the over the top anyway. So I think it's going to good point as any to talk about a little bit of the games that happened before we finish the show with a romantic idea of Villa being promoted. I don't know how romantic Villa is, but yeah, it was a fascinating game. The last 10 minutes of that game when Derby County trying to find the equalizer and that pressure, that was fascinating. But let's take a quick look at some games this weekend. Friday, Orlando, LA Galaxy on the road to Orlando, wins 1-0. Real Salt Lake, the next opponent of the Montreal Impact tomorrow night at Sad Saputo. Real Salt Lake 2, Atlanta 1, LAFC 4, Montreal 2. It was a bit closer than the scoreline would indicate, but it's the best team in the league, LAFC. Bank of California Stadium is a tough place to play in, especially without your talisman, Samuel Piet, and Nacho Piatti that is not 100%. Nacho Piatti will not play this Wednesday, but this brings us to Saturday, Dwayne. A couple of interesting games here. Chicago NYCFC, a draw, 1-1. Vancouver with a big win at home versus FC Dallas, 2-1 for the Whitecaps. New England DC, 1-1. You know what's fascinating? No one wants to win in the Eastern Conference, Dwayne. No one. Nobody wins.
No, which, you know, we'll get to Toronto at the end of this, I'm sure. So, yeah, it's a crawl right now. The West was like that the last couple of years, so we'll see.
Like, Montreal keeps drawing and losing, and they're not even going backwards in the standings. I love it. Philly 1, Portland 3, big win for the Portland Timbers on the road before they finally go back home and open the newly improved Providence Park. FC Cincinnati with another loss, this time at home versus the Red Bulls, 2-1. Minnesota 1, Houston Dynamo 0. Big win from Minnesota. This is not your kind of older brother Minnesota. They're a bit better, Dwayne. Colorado Columbus 3-2, but we'll finish with Sunday. SKC Seattle 3-2 for SKC. Big win to put things back in the right direction for my MLS Cup favorite, like every year. And Toronto, still, it'll always be. Toronto 1, Wondolowski 2. So I guess the best goal scorer in the history of the league can be left by himself at the penalty spot twice in 20 minutes. Sure, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I was at that game, of course. Look, it wasn't very pretty, and what I would say to Toronto FC fans is that, you know, they got to work that back line out. I mean, this isn't rocket science here anymore. Martin Bailey, who, for those that don't follow him on Twitter, you should if you like stats. He's a very, you know, he has an encyclopedic and lots of spreadsheets too, I'm sure, a memory of TFC history, and is able to pull stats completely out of his elbow, like, wow, instantly during games. I mean, he's a professional statistician, but nonetheless, he does this as fun for the TFC stuff. And he pointed out that TFC right now currently has the worst defensive record of its history right now.
Ooh.
Think about that for a minute. You know, in terms of goals allowed per game, they're allowing something like 1.8 goals per game. You just can't do that. They've scored 23, which, you know, is amongst second in the East right now.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but they've only allowed 22, which is the worst record.
No, yeah. But
I mean, the Revolution have allowed 32, so that's, you know.
Oh my God, 32? 32 goals in what? 15 games?
They played 16? 15 games, yeah. Yeah, so they're allowed more than 2 goals a game, which is pretty
goals
damn bad.
A game but, average. How can you win anything with 2 goals a game average? No wonder they fired Brad Friedel. No wonder.
No. Well, you mentioned like teams like spinning their wheels in the East right now. Toronto, despite the fact they're on a terrible, strong run right now, still are in a playoff spot. So
Montreal lost 3 out of 4, and they're still fourth only because Red Bull won. If not, there would still be third in the East. So that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's a silly little competition. Whoever, and so the summer window is going to matter a lot. But, you know, the summer window, when you're talking about TFC, I don't want to beat the dead horse here. The dead horse is the center backs. Or, you know, well, we'd wondered, speculated whether it was the keeper, but now there's the keeping change, and there hasn't been much of a change in the defensive record. So it's the center backs then.
So I guess it wasn't something. It wasn't all Bono, right?
No.
You have to admit. Okay,
no.
Fine. But it was a little bit, but not fully.
Yeah, quietly, NYCFC has been very hot. And while you look at the three teams, or the two teams that we were worried about off the start of the year, both of them because
New York,
the East didn't pull away when they took advantage of it. Now the Red Bulls are in third and Atlanta's in fifth. So, you know, and I think
NYCFC's,
you have to look at those two teams as the favorite.
NYCFC is back all the way up there, too. So,
yeah,
remember,
19 points in six, right? Yeah.
2 months ago, I was like, yeah, New York is blue. Yeah, New York is red. Yeah, New York is shit. Well, I guess they changed the narrative. It's already back. New York is all right. New York is back in the playoffs. New York is fine.
Well, honestly, though, you look at this, as much as we talk about this, the kind of the unpredictability and the sort of the strangeness of the East, when you start to look at these standings right now, well, I picked Philadelphia near the top this year. I think I picked them to win the East, actually. That was a bit of an outlier in that pick, but I wasn't alone, and they are sitting in second. DC United was kind of the universal pick to win the East for a lot of people because of the way they finished last year. They are in first. Atlanta now above the line and trending upwards. The Red Bulls above the line and trending upwards. These are the teams we thought would be good at the start of the year, and they are starting to put them there. You look at Montreal and Toronto, two Canadian teams we talk about a lot. Well, where do we put them at the start of the year? Kind of in the middle of the pack. Playoff teams, but not near the top. And right now, they're playoff teams, but not near the top. So
and guess what?
Kind of is, yeah.
Orlando and Cincinnati in the bottom of the East, where we thought they were going to be.
And Chicago below the red line. The only team that's really surprising, I think, right now is the Crew.
The Crew
have struggled. But they're only a point out of the playoffs, too. So, you know, this is still wide open for a lot of people. Like, no one is out of any position in the East right now. That is, you know, if you want to be half full in terms of a Montreal or a TFC perspective, that's just it. Even though they haven't been as good as they'd like, in both teams' cases, the Impact failing to take advantage of other solid teams, Toronto falling like a stone right now. They're still within touching distance of the very top of the East. They're still also within touching distance of the very bottom of the East. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Almost halfway through this season. Almost halfway through. Wow.
Well, there's a game every freaking Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Like, this season is going at a lightning fast pace. I can barely keep up.
Well, we're going to break for 2 weeks in a couple weeks. So, yes.
Yeah, and you tried to plan a wedding or a trip at the same time where we are. Not easy. It's a lot of moving pieces around, especially. And, oh, yeah, have a game tomorrow. Okay, that meeting needs to move to another day. Welcome to my life over the last few weeks.
Sorry, real quickly before we move on. The LAFC, 8 points ahead in the Supporters Shield race right now.
And it's not even June. So, mm-hmm. Okay, drum roll, please. You're 2019 Supporters Shield winners, LAFC.
They're 10-1-4. I mean, this is like the last 3 years.
And you know who's the MVP for me? Alvella, of course. But okay, the unsung hero?
Okay, so you're going to say it.
Who's the Lady Bing Trophy? Like, the Lady Bing Trophy of Major League Soccer so far this year. Mark Anthony Kay, come on. Redemption story, you could put that too.
It's got a bit of an edge to him. I don't know if he's Lady Bing territory, but yeah. Right. Nonetheless, no, I know what you mean. Like, he's the unsung hero award.
The King Clancy. What was that one? Anyways, those are their hockey trophies.
Hockey reference. Get the bingo card out. Yeah. Who won the game yesterday in hockey? I don't even know. I literally don't know who won the Stanley Cup final game last night.
The Raptors?
Yeah, the Raptors. The Raptors won the Stanley Cup final game yesterday. I think that's probably true.
Raptors in six? Come on.
I was in Toronto, right? Just outside the sport for a second here. I know everyone just assumes that it's hockey up here, and it is
not
a lot
right
of that.
Now.
But the Toronto Sports Radio, yeah, no, it's Raptors right now. They didn't even talk about the Stanley Cup final on primetime sports last night for more than 5 minutes.
You know, basketball is getting traction when you open a French television channel and they're talking about basketball before everything else. Yeah, that doesn't happen often here. Because we don't have a team.
Yeah, I used to. But there is a basketball culture in Montreal, though. We used to play a tournament every year. My high school team used to play a tournament in Montreal. We go down, we do an exchange. They come 1 year, we come back the other year. It's a lot of fun, especially in our senior year. Let me tell you.
When you're 18,
thought it was a good idea to take senior boys to Montreal for the weekend? Jesus.
Be like, yeah, you guys are 18. You're not allowed to drink at home, but let's go play a basketball tournament where you can drink. Sure.
Let's just say our record on the Sunday morning of those tournaments was not particularly good. We'll just leave it at that.
Why? What happened to you guys? Why can't you shoot? Leave us alone. Where's the coffee? Do you have any Tylenols? That's how I feel on the Sunday mornings. But no. Speaking of Tylenols and a little hungover this morning, people in Birmingham, in the Villa part of Birmingham, they're hungover this morning. They're going up. They are going up. Said they are going up.
Yeah, this is Aston Villa, one of the original teams in the Premier League, original teams in Division One, going all the way back. They had never been down before. They dropped. Was it 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yeah, three years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, prove that it is not easy to bounce immediately back up. But this is an historic team in the context of English soccer. It is absolutely – it didn't seem right to not have him in the Premier League. And I know that there are a lot of Villa fans, and very famous ones. Christian Jack famously is a Villa fan, TSN personality. So certainly for them, and, you look in terms of England too. I mean, these in this past season, I'm sure that they like this. There's two of their major cities that didn't have Premier League teams that now do again. Birmingham and Sheffield have both gone back up into the top flight, and I think that's good for the spread of the game there as well.
And of course, it's not Leeds. Of course, Leeds didn't make it through. Birmingham City didn't make it through. Aston Villa did.
Way down. It was way down.
Yes. No. They got close a few years ago. Like a few years ago, they were there, then they missed their opportunity. And for Villa, they lost that exact same game last year when they played against Fulham in the playoff promotion final. Fulham beat them, and Fulham back. Fulham was able to stay up and continue this year. But it was a very big defeat for Villa, and John Terry as assistant manager, Dean Smith. That's a good story. Dean Smith, the day before the game, so it would be Saturday. No, yesterday was Monday. So Sunday, goes to see his father at an hospice care home. His father has dementia, and he'd be like, "Dad, the next time I come and see you, I'll be a Premier League manager." And his father has dementia. He's not there. But he heard those words, and for about 2 seconds, he saw a connection with his father. Football therapy, Dwayne. It's true. It exists. And it's a beautiful story.
No, for sure. I think of the three teams that have gone up, which is Sheffield United, Norwich City, and obviously Aston Villa, even though Villa is the third of those teams to go up, I think that just based on their history and their stability around that they probably are the best suited to stay up for a long term. They shouldn't have gone down, as I said. I mean, it's going to still be a challenge for them in the initial day. You're still, look at Newcastle, and maybe we'll talk about them briefly in a second, you look at Newcastle and their struggles to reestablish themselves as the top half team after going down a couple times. I think Villa will be in the same boat, but this is a well-supported historic club that should have the resources and the institutional knowledge to fix itself and get back to where most of its fans would believe it belongs, which is in the top flight of English football.
And not just in the top flight, battling for at least top tens in the Premier League, right? That's what Villa is. It was talking about trophies. Like, which trophy are we going to gun for? Like, that's what it was. Like, way before the money. That's what Villa was.
Won the European Championship. They are...
There you go. 1982, no? Was it 82?
Yeah, I think it was. It's in the early 80s. Yeah, you know, sort of Forest. So, I mean, it's a different era. But
don't ask me why I know this, because I was not even born, but I do. That's what happens when you talk about soccer way too much. You get like dates and no thing. You're like, oh yeah, 1982, the year Villa won something. Well, no, and Norwich. We've talked about Norwich, and they've been doing the yo-yo dance for a few years now. I remember Kai Kamara going to play for Norwich. That did not turn out well. But Norwich, Sheffield, I'm excited for Sheffield. It's a team I haven't never seen in the Premier League before. It's going to be at least fun to see some new faces, new jerseys, new kits. But speaking of new faces, and let's finish the show there for today. Newcastle, now big rumors, takeover talks, and it was Sky Sports at some point. But now it's looking more and more like a consortium, but that would be headed by Middle Eastern money, taking over Newcastle, bringing him a bunch of money, and maybe making it the Big Seven in the Premier League.
Yeah, I truly believe that. The Newcastle's a sleeping giant, and they've always just needed competent investment to get back to where they were. There are a lot of Newcastle fans in this part of the world that started to watch soccer a lot in the late 90s, when we first started to be able to get it on TV consistently, and Newcastle at that point was a very good team that was competing near the top of the Premier League. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of Arsenal fans, too, for the same reason, right? Obviously, United, they're always out there. They're like rats. So just like I said, that out loud. Anyway, no.
What? No, there was a connection problem. I didn't hear you. It cut, right? Maybe.
Yeah, there's just a lot of them. They spread. Nonetheless, as I said, it's a massively supported club. Everyone knows this that watches this game. You know, they draw through thick and thin. They're very passionate up there. I mean, famously, they punched a horse once. Don't hope they don't do that too often, the fans, but well, one guy punched a horse, but yeah, they all sort of roped into it.
Don't blame the fan base for one zealot.
Yeah, at any rate, but no, it's a very passionate area. I mean, we saw it obviously with their great rivals, local rivals in Sunderland. We saw how much passion there was with the documentary that was on Netflix, Sunderland Until I Die. Different club, but it's the same region, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, they're very the Northeast. There's not a lot going on up there, right? So this is what they do. They love these teams, and they feel they deserve more support from their ownership, and I agree with that. I'm not a Newcastle fan, but I don't have anything against them, and I appreciate
wrong. Look at what he did over the last, I don't know how many years, but the Geordies are not happy. So.
Yeah, and Mike Ashley has, you know, he's hated for a reason, right? He did not invest in this team at all. They are where they are because, not because of their support and their potential, but because their owner decided to leverage them for his own means, and that's his right as a business owner, clearly, but at the same time, it's not really, you know, within the social contract of what you do when you own a sports team. And if Middle Eastern money truly does buy Newcastle, then yeah, absolutely. I think the potential of the Big Six becoming a Big Seven is real. Take a few years. It's not going to be instant. It took a few years for City. You know, they didn't just snap their fingers and immediately become good. I mean, it took them, I think, you know, the money came in 2008, and they didn't make the Champions League until 2011, I want to say, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So it's going to take time, but yeah.
And after a few years, you start to build a foundation and to build not just big players that you come in, but academy. You build not just the revenue stream going out, like the money going out to buy players, but you eventually build the system to have the money system coming in to a different scale. And making money with Newcastle was a bit of the responsibility lately. You know, you're getting the big golden bridge to come back to the Premier League, and you only not even spend, you make 25 million of profit that transfer window. Like, dude, you didn't get it. You're supposed to spend that money on players so you compete. All right, but we'll see if the new owners, I mean, if it actually happens, but yeah,
I just said Yeah, the caveat being that there have been rumors that he's been close to selling before. So even this does look more promising, and I say promising on purpose. But until, you know, we see the new owners holding up the jersey with their names in the back, it's grain of salt. And I'm sure I don't need to tell that to Newcastle fans. They've gone through this a few times already.
Yeah. It's like the hockey team in Quebec City and like a baseball team in Montreal. I'll believe it when I see it. Just like Newcastle with new owners.
Exactly.
And on that note, you can always follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larmé. We'll be back tomorrow with a Europa League final preview. Arsenal, Chelsea battling each other tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. I will be going to Brittany Lions tomorrow to watch it, so if you want to join me, that would be fun. But tomorrow at 11, we'll review this. We'll talk about more of the world of football with a soccer perspective. But for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larmé. Make sure you give us a follow. Make sure you give us a subscription. Like, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Like our page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast. This really helps us a lot. Leave us a review. Or if you want to do even more to support us and help us, go to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the exclusive content that we produce, Canadian Premier League coverage, and of course the Two Sawtooth Soccer Podcast for patrons only. $2 a month will give you access to our exclusive content. But until then, and as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.